this for my culture, 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 culture. Welcome back to For the Culture on WEAA 88.9 FM and WEAA.org. Absolutely the voice of the community. I'm your host, Faraji Muhammad. Thank you so much for checking in and riding with me this evening. Folks, we've been talking about Senator Ted Cruz and his deciding to leave the state of Texas to go on a vacation while his state and constituents remain in crisis. We're going to continue to take your calls about this situation in a moment. But I do want to let you know about something that's coming up next week, folks. Give you a little sneak peek about next week's show. Next week, I'll be hosting a special community conversation specifically about the reopening of Baltimore City schools. So the Baltimore CEO of schools, Dr. Sonia Santelices, will be on the show to take your calls for 2 hours. Now, this is going to be a special conversation because just as much as she's been talking about the reopening of schools for the and answering the questions from adults, this conversation that we plan to have next week on Thursday, February the 25th, this conversation is going to be with the children. So we want you to make sure that your children tune in to our special one-on-one conversation, and this is our reopening town hall that we're going to be having here on For the Culture featuring Dr. Sonia Santelices, the CEO of Baltimore City Schools. It's going to be here Thursday, February the 25th at from 5 p.m. to 7 p.m. And we don't want you to miss any of it. We want you to tune in, but we want your children to call in. And so that's going to be happening next week. And certainly you'll be hearing a lot more about it as we get closer to this date. But I just wanted to give you a sneak peek of what to expect that's coming up next Thursday on January the 25th. Folks, let's go back to the phone lines to hear what you got to say as we talk about this Ted Cruz leaving Texas in the middle of a crisis situation. He has apologized. He has apologized. But his rationale is that, you know, he left because he wanted to be a good parent. He left because his daughter asked him to leave. He left because, you know. But the text messages show this was a hastily planned trip because the folks wanted to, him and his, well, really his wife wanted to leave Houston because they lost power. Their home was freezing and they wanted to go someplace warm. So they left Texas and they went down to Cancun, Mexico, stayed at the Ritz-Carlton for $309 per night to get away from the crisis in Texas. He was going to join them for this whole week from Wednesday all the way up through the weekend, this weekend, but then he had a moment. And he said to himself, hey, maybe I shouldn't leave. I am the state senator. Maybe I should stick around and see what's going on. You think that might be a good idea, Mr. Senator? You think that might be good that you stay at home considering millions of people are out of power, considering your constituents don't have drinking water. They've been drinking snow. Considering people have been feeling hopeless and, like, abandoned. On the other side of things, President Joe Biden is planning to visit the state of Texas very soon, even though power has been restored, but the water has not been restored. So the president said he will be making a trip to Texas very, very soon to give some comfort to Texans. Let's go back to the line to hear what you got to say. 410-319-8888. Roscoe, thank you for your patience. What's your take?
Doing today.
I'm good, Roscoe. How are you, brother?
I'm doing good. Listen, I just wanted to say everything you say is true, you know, all the negatives that he's done, you and others. But my take on it is this. let's wait and see. I don't know when his reelection time will be up, and I don't know his
2022.
Tenure. When is it?
2022.
Well, let's see if his people that supported him, if they will continue their support and reelect him. You know, let's see those people, you know, stay strong in their support for him. And so we should take initiatives. We should take the lessons from that incident, those incidents, and others, and we should maintain and be steadfast in our support of our elected officials in Baltimore that come under attack from Fox 45 News and, you know, Vignanato and all those people. See, you know, we should maintain our support for our elected officials also. So I'm just gonna sit back and see if he's reelected.
You know what? And I appreciate you, Roscoe, for checking in. And that's the other part about it. That is the part about this, folks, that I think that we need to keep in mind. That going back to my statement of sometimes Americans, I think as people of this country, we suffer from amnesia. We suffer from amnesia. We just think, oh, well, that happened some time ago. By the time 2022 comes around, when it's time for us to vote our senators and representatives back into Congress, how many folks in this country are going to remember the senators and representatives who did not stand up when the whole situation with Trump and the insurrection? How many folks are going to remember these moments like what we're seeing right now with Senator Ted Cruz? How many folks are going to remember that? And it gets to the point that when we start forgetting or we refuse to acknowledge, then we deserve to get the poor leadership that we get. I'm going to say that again. When we start to get to that point where we forget or at least refuse to acknowledge that this is not good, your leadership should not leave you in a lurch. Your leadership should not leave you in a moment of crisis. Your leadership should not make you feel like they deserve, you deserve them, when it should be vice versa. If it gets to that point where we are like that, then we get the leadership, the bad leadership that we deserve. We get it. Arlene checked in on my Facebook page and says, if the residents of Texans needed a wake-up call about who they elect in office, they have it now. Elections have consequences. That Senator Ted Cruz got on a plane because his daughter wanted to go back to the beach. Really? Yes, Arlene. Really? She said, I wonder how many residents of Texas wanted to go to the beach. How many daughters asked their fathers, Daddy, can we go someplace? Fathers, Daddy, can we go someplace warmer? Daddy, can we get some water to drink? How many houses were freezing and the owners wanted to go away? Residents taking snow and boiling it just to have something to drink, and you, with your infinite wisdom, decide to go on a planned whim to another country while the residents of the state that elected you into the office you represent are freezing. That is a level of arrogance, selfishness, and entitlement that is beyond my comprehension. Facts, Arlene. Thank you so much for posting that. That's it. But we can't forget that. And that's part of the why, and I'm happy that, you know, when we heard from Ray prior to the break, he talks about the physical infrastructure breaking down in this country, that the physical infrastructure of this country is so damaged and so broken that everybody should be, every man, woman, or child, or at least every man and woman who is able to work or can be willing to work to fix up this country. But let's talk about the leadership infrastructure that is broken. We don't have those representatives and those, I mean, very few. And you could probably name them on your hands, folks. There's very few that are in public leadership today who are really about integrity, values, morals, all of those things, character, making the decisions that are in the interest of the people and not of themselves. Probably it's a very few. It's a very few. And that's the problem. Let's go back to the line. Let me hear from Wesley in Reisterstown. Wesley, thank you for checking in. What's your take?
Yeah, I think you're being too hard on Ted Cruz. I didn't have any problem with him leaving Texas. I had a problem with him coming back.
I'm being too hard on him?
had a problem with him coming back to Texas. They should have kept him over.
Okay, you got me on that one, Wesley.
Did I get you? Did I get you? Okay, now. He's a PO. To the Marine that called in, Semper Fi, my brother. I was in the Corps, too.
So all okay. Right.
Now, Ted Cruz. Ted Cruz, he said he was trying to be a good parent. I wonder if that's a Freudian slip, admitting that he's really not a good parent. Now, once again, we have a situation where the government, in connection with a private company that built that grid, did not look out for the citizens who pay their salaries. You know, the senators, the U.S. senators being paid by the federal government. But the governor of Texas is getting paid by the citizens' tax money, and so is the power grid being paid by the tax money. And they're not, again, looking out for the citizens as they did not do in Flint, Michigan. So it's a story that keeps going on and on. We keep paying, and getting nothing in return. And a lot of people are going to die because of that, you know?
Right. So, Right. I'm with you on that one, Wesley. You got me, but I'm with you on that one. I appreciate that. Let's go back to the phone line. Let me hear from Clarence. Clarence, what's your take on this?
Faraji, thanks for taking the call. You know, Ted Cruz, as long as Ted Cruz doesn't cross Donald Trump, then he'll be reelected. All Donald Trump, hey, Ted Cruz, he's a good guy. Forget about it. You know what I mean? He'll
yeah.
be reelected, that kind of a thing.
Well, but you know what? I hope not. I really hope that I hope they remember this.
Look, Texas is another country, you know. They're not part of the United States, so I really could care less. Wait, no, I'm not going to say that about the people. But that other country down there, you know, that's their thing. But let me say this. I want to key in on what your guest, your caller said that before you took your break. You know, Faraji, when I really want to get into politics, I'm a student of Noam Chomsky.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Cornel West. You
right.
know, I studied what they say because these are what I consider my go-to guys when I need an opinion on what's happening in this country. Noam Chomsky has a video out, I think, from 2016, somewhere around there. It's Requiem for the American Dream.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, you know, he articulates it all. And one of the things that he said in there that I always pay attention to is concentrated wealth is concentrated power. So once you have the power that is a result of your wealth, you are not going to do anything other than use that power politically to maintain your wealth and the power. Both they go hand in hand. You get my drift there?
I do,
Friday.
I do.
So in this country, when you have, and you hear this all the time, but nobody ever, you know, it's something like it goes in one ear and right out the other, because people need to be comforted. They don't want to face the reality that the political system in this country is completely broken. There is no line between corporate America and the politicians, Nancy Pelosi, all of them. Every 4 years, they play this good cop, bad cop. They play the American public like a fiddle. They put the good guy over here, Joe Biden, and here's the bad guy over here, Donald Trump. So you guys over here, in order to save your country, you got to come out masses to do this. We will repeat that same scenario over and over and over again. Now, here's my real thing I want to say for Raji. You know what? People shouldn't even mention Bernie Sanders' name. Bernie Sanders was the change. Don't talk about Bernie Sanders after the fact. You should have rallied the same way the Democratic Party put all of that effort into getting behind Joe Biden. They should have said, look, this thing about the Democratic Socialists, you know, that's not it. This is what the man's talking about. And try to rally all of the American people, including those Trump voters, to vote for a change, a structural change in this country. You didn't do that.
Yeah.
They didn't do that.
And you know what? Hey, Clarence, you and I have had many conversations about
you
this.
You know what I'm saying, Brian?
Yeah, I know, and it's frustrating.
Yeah.
It's
We haven't moved the dial.
Nope.
Next 4 years from now, will be backing. If Ted Cruz might even become their nomination.
Right.
You never know.
And see, that's the thing, folks. And Clarence, I appreciate you, brother, for checking in. Thank you. That's the thing. What Clarence is talking about is how much of a change do we really want to see when it comes to the leadership of this country? And I think part of that is just simply because we are not doing our part, our due diligence, to understand where people are. Let me just throw it out there. And some people might say, oh, man, that's a conspiracy. We're distracted. We're distracted right now. So even in the midst of all of these major changes and shifts and these all of these ups and downs that we're seeing within the political realm of this country, some people don't know that it's happening. Even if all of this talk about economic development, the racial wealth gap as it relates to the coronavirus, and they're talking about the stimulus, some people don't know that right now. So there are some things that are happening in this country that we aren't paying attention to. And as a result of that, when we finally decide to get ourselves tuned in, we don't have the right information to make the best decisions to vote in the most qualified leadership. We don't. And as a result of that, we get this piss poor leadership that we've gotten. And this is leadership from the federal level all the way down to the local level. If you and I aren't going to be informed citizens of any city, county, state, district, whatever, wherever we are, then what are we doing? I mean, you should at least know certain things about where you live and who's responsible for what. It shouldn't just be, well, I don't care. It doesn't matter. It does matter. It really does matter. Because when you get leadership that's in office that don't represent your interests, that vote against your interests, that speak out against your interests, then you want to get upset? We can't. That will put us behind the eight ball. Let's go back to the line. Let me hear from Elliot. Thank you for checking in, Elliot. What's your take?
Haven't heard, talked to you in a long time. Always good to talk to you.
You too, brother.
You know, Philandry, I was just thinking, two words that you just used that I love so much. One is amnesia, and the other one is leadership.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just going to throw this out there really quick. Rats jumping off the ship, because that's the way I look at Cruz. I never really liked him, respected him, and all the Senate or anything. And the other thing is, I want people to know something, for IG. You probably, I think maybe you're old enough to know, maybe. There was a show that used to come on back in the day in the 80s called Dallas.
Dallas with, like, J.R.?
Like J.R. Ewing.
Who shot J.R.?
Exactly. Yeah, like J.R. Ewing.
Yes.
So, J.R., got to remember, he was, like, the toughest. He made one statement that may sound stupid to people. A statement shows that I wrote the rules so I can make stuff happen. Just keep that in mind. From Texas, the Lone State.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel sorry. Don't get me wrong. I really feel bad for the people who are living under the circumstances, but the thing is, Cruz, come on, homeboy, you just rode out on everybody. You just jumped ship. You ran out on everyone. And if that's a sign of leadership, guess what? I hope the kids don't know you at all in history. And I mean that for Roger. That's all I want to say.
I appreciate that, Elliot. Thank you so much. Let's go back to the line. Curtis, thank you for your patience. What's your take?
Ran out on everyone.
Hey, yes, Curtis, turn down your phone, your radio for me, please.
I hope the kids don't know you at all.
We got Curtis? Come on, Curtis. We want to make sure we get you.
That's all I want.
Curtis? Oh, man, Curtis. All right, Curtis, we're going to have to let you go. Thank you so much for checking in. But, what's your take on it, sir?
Hey, he should have watched the movie Saving Private Ryan. The movie Saving Private Ryan.
Mm-hmm.
The leadership. That's all I got to say, and I'm out.
Oh, that's a good point. I like how you dropped the mic on that one. That's a good point. That's a good point. Glord, what's your take on it, sir?
Yes, sir, Barrage. My concern is about the people at this point. I've been listening to your station all night. Nobody had mentioned a thing about FEMA, because isn't that FEMA's position to go in and help the people take
the
water?
Yeah, after the fact. Yep. They come in after the disaster is over.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
And you know, as humans, we need some water now.
Yeah, I mean, they're going to probably start coming in now. They're not going to just jump in the midst of it. They got to do an assessment. And I think that's also what's going to cause, what's caused the president to make the trip down there. But, yeah, they're going to have to come in afterwards. So, like, around this time, since, things are in a relatively calm place, they're going to come in there and check out the water. They're going to check out the power and see what needs to be done. That's going to be for Texas, like we mentioned earlier tonight, Louisiana and Mississippi.
Yeah. Because I have a cousin that lives there as well, and I was trying to see whether or not somebody had responded to that as well. But Ted Cruz, yeah, he needs to leave. He needs to retire, and they need to get him out there. So we'll see what the outcome will be.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. Glory, thank you so much, brother, for checking in. We appreciate it. Byron, you got the final word on this. What's your take on how this whole thing unraveled?
This is what's going on. You had New Orleans, they failed. You had Texas. You got people in California, they didn't want to help them because Republicans never want to spend money to help people. They always say they never have enough money. Then when disasters come, they got to spend three, four times as much. I mean, it's ridiculous. And Democrats been cleaning up Republicans' mess since Vietnam. Do your history and connect the dots. And that's what we got to start doing, connecting the dots. Yeah, Democrats need to straighten their stuff up, but they are always there when the S hits the fan. And they've been cleaning up Republican stuff forever because they do not want to spend money to help people. Their biggest saying is, we don't have enough money. But then they got to come in and spend multiple times more to repair it. I mean, it is ridiculous. It's the party of obstruction. Thanks.
Hey, I appreciate you. Thank you, Byron. Well, you know what? I think there's a party that everybody, that unfortunately, that leadership model is something that I'm seeing across the board. It's easy for us to get mad at Republicans, but we can't forget. Like I said, we can't start getting amnesia because there are some times when Democrats have dropped the ball just as well, too. So we can't forget that. But the point is that what we're seeing from our leadership, especially from those who we voted in office, this is not talking about somebody that's running a Fortune 500 company and they got their own board of directors and they're only accountable to a small chosen few. No, this is a public servant. A public servant. And we have to be clear that when the public servant veers off of their track of service to the public, then we have to be the guardrails to remind them who they actually serve. If not, then we're going to continue to get the piss poor leadership that we've been getting and continue to watch our country go into a decline. Folks, we got to take our final break. When we come back, we're going to switch gears. Let's talk about the Green Mountain Corridor. We're going to be checking in with Mr. Miller Roberts III of the Central Baltimore Partnership's Green Mountain Corridor Revitalization Effort. He is the director of this great effort and going to give us an insight about what we are seeing right now and what we can expect along Green Mount Avenue. Stay riding with us. That conversation is up next right here on For the Culture here on WEAA 88.9 FM. Absolutely the voice of the community. We'll be right back.
I do this for my culture.
Peace. Welcome back to For the Culture. Right here on your source for cool jazz and more, WEAA 88.9 FM and WEAA.org. Absolutely the voice of the community. I'm your host, Faraji Muhammad. Thank you so much for checking in and riding with us this evening. Folks, we are going to switch gears a little bit. I want to talk about what is going on with our beloved Greenmount Avenue. Because if you've noticed on Greenmount, there's been a lot of construction lately. And now we're going to have a better understanding of what is really happening, what we can expect, and how will the new Greenmount Avenue impact the various communities along that corridor. Here to give us some insight about this effort is Mr. Miller Roberts III, who serves as the Central Baltimore Partnership's Greenmount Corridor Revitalization. He is the director of this effort, and he's joining us live on the line. Miller, thank you so much for joining us, sir.
Hey, thank you, Faraji, for having me, and thank you for lifting up the discussion about what's happening in Texas, Louisiana, and Mississippi. Definitely those folks are in our thoughts as they recover.
Absolutely.
From everything that's happening down there. But you're right. There's a lot that's happening on Greenmount Avenue, and I want to talk this evening about some of the things that are happening, specifically talk about the Greenmount Life Opportunity and Wellness Initiative that has been sponsored by the Harry and Jeanette Weinberg Foundation. That's just one of the many things happening along that corridor. This is a truly important initiative because Central Baltimore Partnership is going to be continuing some really important work in four Central Baltimore neighborhoods that are along the Greenmount Corridor. Those neighborhoods being East Baltimore Midway, Greenmount West, Barclay, and my own neighborhood, Harwood. And we're going to be doing the work for several years to ensure that every resident has access to primary and preventative health care, that every young person in those neighborhoods has access to high-quality out-of-school time opportunities that are enriching, and we know how important that is, and that every resident has access to nutritious food. This work is going to take us some time, but we know how important it is. And, you know, I'm very fortunate because I joined Central Baltimore Partnership and joined just an incredible group of people who've been doing some of this work for many years.
Mm-hmm.
In particular, they've been doing this work as part of their Front and Center Equity Action Plan that started in 2018 and focused on increasing out-of-school activities, eliminating barriers to employment, increasing access to health care, improving the public spaces. You know, we got to do something with all these vacant lots and improve the recreational facilities that we have around our schools and that we have in our parks. And also helping legacy homeowners remain in their homes,
yeah.
Right? That's key to having a strong community.
Absolutely.
And so this work is continuing, and this new initiative is coming in and taking the next steps, digging deeper to make sure that we're connecting with the people in those neighborhoods and making lives better.
So, Miller, I want to kind of go back a little bit because, you know, when we're looking at Greenmount Avenue, if you're from East Baltimore, you're very familiar with Greenmount, the changes that have been along Greenmount Avenue, right? Especially if you're from East Baltimore. You may think about it if you live in West Baltimore, but it's a major thoroughway for East Baltimore. I mean, particularly from going from north to south, or rather from south to north. So when we're looking at the communities that you mentioned, you know, we're talking about Midway, Harwood, Barclay. I used to work in that neighborhood doing some community organizing.
Yeah.
So when we're talking about that, what is the big incentive for these neighborhoods through this Greenmount Life Opportunity and Wellness Initiative?
Yeah, so I think you mentioned something really important. That's an incredible corridor. And so people living along that corridor can get anywhere in the city. There are a number of great bus lines, right? And
absolutely.
So those should be strong neighborhoods. The housing stock is incredible there. We should not have let that housing stock decline.
Great point. How did that happen?
You know, it's disinvestment.
Along a major a corridor like that one.
It's really a shame. And I think it speaks to what happens sometimes in the brown and black neighborhoods. We have to recover from that.
Yeah.
And I think that you can see that that's happening. And Central Baltimore Partnership is really working to touch every component in those neighborhoods to make sure that there's a strong comeback. And I would be remiss if I didn't say that, you know, we're able to do this because we have so many great partners and because there are residents who've been there for years, who've
mm-hmm.
been fighting for those neighborhoods for years, and they finally are saying enough is enough. who's going to come and help us get our communities back? And you'll see along that corridor, there are new restaurants, incredible restaurants serving healthy food.
Yeah.
My mama's vegan, a bagel shop. We got a new bookstore, Urban Reads. That's what we need in those communities,
yeah.
Right? Just really important work.
Are you seeing that the residents of Greenmount, along that Greenmount corridor, are they receptive to these changes?
Oh, my gosh. Receptive is an understatement.
Okay.
And, you know, and I live just a half block from the corner of 27th and Greenmount. So this is my neighborhood,
right?
And you know, you go put flowers out along Greenmount Avenue, people come up and they're happy to see it. You say, you know, I have a task force, because what's important here is that as we're coming in to do this work with all these incredible partners, this work is not going to stick or it's not going to resonate with the people there unless we get their input.
Mm-hmm.
And they are joining our task forces. They're telling us what they want to see. They're welcoming us into the community and helping us, right? That's what's important. We also have a youth advisory council that we're forming. We want the 14 to 24-year-olds to tell us what they want. We've got to catch them. We've got to give them opportunities. It's
right.
Not up to me to say what they need. They should tell me, and then I got to make it happen.
So this, and folks, if you're just tuning in, I'm talking to Mr. Miller Roberts III, who serves as the director of the Central Baltimore Partnership's Greenmount Corridor Revitalization Effort. As he talks to us about the Greenmount Life Opportunity and Wellness Initiative, or GLOW, the GLOW initiative happening right along Greenmount Avenue, and talking about the changes there that are affecting some of the primary neighborhoods in that area. We want you to join us, 410-319-8888, 410-319-8888, especially if you live in those areas, you have family and friends in those areas, or you are just interested in wondering about the changes that are happening in those areas. We want you to join us in this conversation with Mr. Miller Roberts III. Miller, so if folks are receptive to it, I'm trying to figure out, you and I both know in the area, when you're talking about community development, there has to be community investment. So let's talk dollars and cents. Let's get to the meat and potatoes of this conversation, right? What is the level of investment that either Central Baltimore Partnership is a nonprofit, so that's one thing, but what is the level of investment from, say, some of the other partners or even from the city of Baltimore when it comes to revitalizing Greenmount Avenue?
Yeah, the investment's great. I mean, I think, first of all, we have to acknowledge that the Harry and Jeanette Weinberg Foundation, just to get us started and for us to begin the work, has invested $500,000 for us to start this planning process.
Okay.
The city is coming to the table and helping us look at the vacant lots and getting things set up and ready for development. We have, you know, the restaurant owners who, they could have opened their business anywhere. They're making a choice, and they're redoing these buildings that have been empty for a while.
Yeah.
So they can be here. But you know what else? These businesses are coming in, and they're supporting the community. You talk about My Mama's Vegan, who is out there all the time. When we first hit COVID and people didn't have anything to eat, guess what? You came to her store and she fed you.
Mm.
That's investment. That's building trust, right?
Right.
And that's how we keep it moving. And Union Memorial Hospital, MedStar, and you name it down the line, everyone's ready for this change to come. Now, you know, you talked a little bit about the construction, and that's part of a streetscape project that the city is working on, right? That's going to take another couple of years
mm-hmm.
to really do some things that will make this look like an incredible street and really jazz up the area. But I'm more concerned about the people,
yeah.
Right? That's what makes the neighborhood.
Understandably so. But here's the thing, because, which leads me to my next question, because
sure.
When we're talking about, you know, people power
yeah.
In this context, you know, when I was working as a community organizer in Berkeley, you know, there was a high level of enthusiasm. The great folks of the Berkeley community wanted to be organized enough to have a voice and have a say. But then also, because of Berkeley and because of the other neighborhoods that were around the Berkeley neighborhood, like, you know, you have Midway, you had Greenmount West, you have Harwood, and you even
sure.
got Guilford, I believe it was, on the other side. you know, it got to be a very, very strategic political situation, right? Because then not only are you talking about the community residents, at that time we had the parole and probation office that was right there in Barkley. You have, you have a lot of hands in the pot.
Yeah.
And so my question is, how can we make sure that the people power of those neighborhoods, the integrity of those people power stays intact, considering there are so many vying interests for that neighborhood and for that corridor?
Sure. So parole and probation's no longer there.
Right.
You probably know that, right? And
yeah.
So we're working now, and the city's working to figure out what's going to happen with that building. And the people in the neighborhood definitely have a seat at the table to provide their feedback. I think the other thing that's really great right now is that Barclay, Greenmount West, East Baltimore Midway, these are communities that are working together.
Mm-hmm.
For change, and that's exactly what you're talking about. Because sometimes when you have a division, and you know, as a resident of Harwood, I'm also calling over to Ms. Linda Johnson with the Greater Greenmount Community Association to say,
mm-hmm.
what's happening over there? Because anything I do in Harwood affects you all. Are we on the same page? I mean, I think the unity these days amongst the communities that are right next to each other, that's how you get power and how you make sure that voices are heard.
Yeah.
And that's what's happening right now. I think it's incredible.
Yeah, and making sure that the community associations have been strengthened and supported.
100% all the time. And I'm just so proud of the community associations because they have really grown.
Yeah.
They're working together and are staying in contact with the city leaders. And it's incredible that our city council representatives are staying engaged and listening to what the people in the neighborhoods have to say.
Now, let's talk a little bit about, you do have some upcoming events for
we
the...
We do. And, you know, it's been hard because, you know, this work should have started. We want to be out in the community every day, but we can't, with COVID. And so we've been really smart to do things virtually, but things are getting better. And so tomorrow we have an absolutely incredible event over at Corner Team Boxing, which is at 1101 East 25th Street.
Yeah.
Just an incredible facility because of all the great things that they do for the kids over there. You know, Coach Mike and Miss Sarah, I just can't say enough great things about them.
Yeah, they're great people over there.
They really are. And so tomorrow we're going to be on site again. We're spreading information about American Heart Health Month, right? And we want people to see, come on out. And there are some great boxing exercises that you can do to increase your cardiovascular fitness. And I say that with a little smile because they've even got me involved. The students there said, you know what, you better get out here too. Never thought I'd do this ever in my life. Right, last person I thought would be trying to learn some boxing moves. But it's absolutely great. And we're there because we're going to have a monthly health topic that we want to talk to the community about. But remember, in the African-American community, we have hypertension, heart disease. This is important stuff, right? And we want to give people information about how to improve their position relative to their heart condition. And this is just the start. And so we'll be there, get a tour of Corner Team Boxing, talk about the Youth Champions Program, which is an after-school program that they have there that not only touches on exercise and boxing, but also they have someone there that helps the students with their homework. They're doing all these great things. They have a free library. Just incredible stuff. So that's one of many. But also tomorrow, My Mama's Vegan will be cooking up some really great plant-based foods there at 2915 Greenmount Avenue. Folks could give it a try, you know.
I'm vegan, so you hey, Miller, I'm vegan, so all you saying, you ain't saying nothing but a word from me, brother.
So then you need to roll through. That's all I'm saying. See Devonette. She'll be there in a second.
No, I appreciate that. And so, you know, you got the good folks over at Corner Team Boxing that's going to be teaching us about, you know, being heart healthy, especially in the time of you know, when physical health isn't super important considering COVID-19, then you're talking about eating some plant-based foods as well.
That's right, most definitely. And engaging with us, talking about how we want the community to be involved,
mm-hmm.
talking about our future programming, because once we get to spring and we have more people who are getting the vaccination, we're going to be out in the community in the green spaces. We're bringing the Y out to do Y on the fly with the family members. We're doing cooking classes that are going to happen, right? Let's talk about how you cook those greens. You know, there are several people who need to learn how to cook Brussels. I love Brussels, but if you don't cook them right, they don't taste good.
Come on, brother.
All right?
Come on.
So there are a bunch of foods that are good for you that you need to learn how to cook correctly, and I bet you'll eat them, right?
Yeah.
Improve. Let's get some of the fatty fried foods out of our regular menus.
Yeah.
We got to do this.
Yeah.
You know, we got to reduce the obesity. And there was a study done recently, community health study done by MedStar, and the residents in these neighborhoods that I'm talking about, they're reporting that they're concerned about their weight, their hypertension, and just the prevalence of diabetes. Okay, we know it's a problem. Let's do something about it.
Yeah.
We're here to help you to go down that path. We want to connect you with the partners that are going to help you change some of those habits, get regular exercise. We're here for you.
Absolutely, absolutely. Folks, we've been talking to Mr. Miller Roberts III, who serves as the director for the Central Baltimore Partnerships Greenmount Corridor Revitalization Effort, giving us some insight about what some of the things that are happening right now that is changing along Greenmount Avenue. If you want to join us for the conversation, you certainly can at 410-319-8888, 410-319-8888. Miller, how do we make sure that in the course of this conversation of changing the landscape, in the course of this conversation of doing like really feel good and inspiring events, that at the root of it, that the history, the legacy of a lot of those neighborhoods, Greenmount, West Barkley, Harwood, that is not compromised? How does that happen?
Yeah, that's a great question, because we definitely don't want to compromise the history. We're not looking to push people out.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why programs like our HUBS program, Housing Upgrades to Benefit Seniors, right? These are legacy residents. We have funds to help them stay in their homes, help them make those repairs. We want to make sure that we reserve the character of these neighborhoods. We got a lot to learn from our elders. I need them around. I want them to let me know what's important to these neighborhoods. And that's why, you know, Miss Linda Johnson, I have her on speed dial all the time.
Yes, Miss Linda is a hard worker over there. She's like one of Baltimore's unsung heroes.
Yes, you know it. You know it.
She's very dedicated, very dedicated, very serious about community development right there. And I know, you know, she lives in the Midway community, and she's very, very dedicated. Beautiful, beautiful heart. And she just wants to make sure that if it's going to be good, it's going to be good for the people of those neighborhoods.
That's right. You're definitely right. But also, you know, as things open up, we're going to be in the community. And I want people to stop my staff. Tell us, give it to us real.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what is it you need? You know, what do you need in the community? And what do you think we're doing right? What are we doing wrong?
Mm-hmm.
Come on. I want to hear it.
So,
I can take it.
So you say you can take it. Well, here's the thing. Is there because we're talking about prime real estate, Greenmount, that whole Greenmount corridor, when you're talking about Greenmount West, you're talking about Barkley, Harwood, Midway, when you're talking about closeness to, you know, that's Central Baltimore. You're talking about the Arts District. You're talking about 10 minutes away from the Inner Harbor. You're talking about maybe 7 minutes away from I-83. Is that area, is there a looming threat that area may be gentrified?
I know that everybody thinks that, and I would hope that that people don't just overreact and think that that's the case. We, you know, Central Baltimore Partnership, we have incentives to help people buy homes in the area.
Okay.
Right? We want everyone to be here. And so we do home buying education workshops. We just did one, and we've been doing them virtually, and we're going to be posting the videos. We want everyone to be involved and stay here. So, no, that's not what we want.
Hmm. Yeah, because you know, in Baltimore, that tends to happen. When you start revitalization effort, then soon people start to get displaced.
Nope. And that's where HUBS comes into place and all of our other grants programs. That's not what we want. Right. I know that. So, you know, I want to live in a diversified neighborhood. I live here. And I want it to stay that way.
Yeah.
And we're working towards that.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Folks, we've been talking to Mr. Miller Roberts III, director of the Central Baltimore Partnership's Greenmount Corridor Revitalization Effort, and talking about the Greenmount Life Opportunity and Wellness Initiative. This is a multi-year, all-ages initiative that's aimed to further and improved health, food access, nutrition for the Greenmount community, while increasing social and economic opportunities for those who live there, folks. This is a very, very big chain of pace. One of the things I did not ask you at the beginning of this conversation, Miller, is when we say multi-year, how many years does that actually mean?
You know what? We don't know yet. And we're going to stay until the job is done.
Okay.
That's the charge that I've been given, right? And I think it's the charge that some of our partners, all of our partners really, who are involved right now, have said that they're willing to take. And, and you know, knowing that we've got to get down to some root causes, it's going to take a while.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think that we should front and say we're going to come in and be gone in 2 years. That's not what I'm about.
Yeah.
We're here till the work is done.
And I mean, there are still some challenges in that neighborhood, in these neighborhoods. You're talking about, you know, you still litter. You're still talking about, you know, you have some spaces along that corridor that it's become a hub for illegal activity, whether it's drugs or just, you know, just people just loitering and all of those things.
Sure.
You know, is the GLOW initiative, does that include a plan on addressing those issues?
We have to, right? We can't go out to the park and have a yoga class if we know that people are doing some shady stuff on the corner. So we have to also address those things. And I think that part of addressing the illegal activity has to do with getting to the root causes, right? And that's why I think those are so important. Give somebody something constructive to do and catch the young folks while they're young. Then they won't engage in those things. We're doing cleanups all the time. Why is the litter there? And who are the people that are bringing some of that trash to our neighborhoods? Illegal dumping. Right,
yeah.
And we got to take a good hard look at that, because it's not always the people in the neighborhood that are coming to put that stuff there.
Yeah, absolutely.
And we got to put some enforcement into place to stop that. They got to respect our neighborhood.
Absolutely. And Miller, talk to us about the churches. There are a lot of churches there, right? In those you know, among those neighborhoods. How are they being engaged in this process?
You say a lot, and I think that my last spreadsheet had about 42, to be exact, so you are correct.
Yes.
There are a lot of faith-based institutions in that footprint,
right.
And we're in touch with them. You know, we want to be in constant contact with them. That's a great way to reach people, right? We want to spread some of our health education information through the church. We know that those church leaders can help us reach people. We want to talk to them about reaching the young folks, and that's definitely part of this. It has to be in the Black community.
Absolutely. Well, we only have a few moments left, and Miller, first and foremost, we want to thank you so much for your time and giving us some insight about some of these big changes. But I know you want to talk. I want to give people another shot to hear all of the details for tomorrow's event. So let us have that information again.
Most definitely. So tomorrow we're going to be at Corner Team Boxing at 1101 East 25th Street from 10 until 1:30 p.m. We're giving tours of Corner Team Boxing. We're talking about the benefits of great cardiovascular exercise. We'll be there talking about American Heart Health Month, right? And then also interacting with people to talk about GLOW and how they can be involved, how they can stay in touch, and how they can get information from us. So it's going to be a great day. The weather's looking better. So now that we've been in the house for 2 days due to the snow and ice, folks can get out and obviously wear your mask. We're going to be maintaining a safe distance, but we'll be out tomorrow there at Corner Team Boxing.
There it is. And then, folks, after you break a sweat at Corner Team Boxing, you can make your way over to My Mama's Vegan Cafe. I'm about to check that one out, you know, over there, 2915 Greenmount Avenue, to pick up some good vegan treats and delights and just some great plant-based food. So that sounds like it's going to be a whole day. It's a good plan, though, Miller. I like it. I like it a lot, sir.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate the time. And I hope to come back so we can talk about some of the stuff that we have done, because we're going to be ready. We want people to hold us accountable.
Absolutely. Absolutely. We'll certainly, set up another conversation for you guys to come back and continue to talk about the work of the Central Baltimore Partnership. Miller, thank you so much for being on the show tonight. We truly appreciate it.
All right. Have a great evening.
Absolutely. Wow. There it is, folks. You want to know what's going on with Greenmount? Come on out and check it out. If you want to get more information, reach out to Central Baltimore Partnership. And you can talk to Mr. Miller Roberts yourself as he talks about the Greenmount revitalization effort through the Greenmount Life Opportunity and Wellness Initiative. All right. That's going to do it for us. I want to thank each and every one of you for being a part of the conversation, both online and on air. I want to thank my dynamic team, Mallory Pinker-Pierre, my man Dre Day, and, of course, my producer, Demi Goff. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Stay tuned. Up next is Lola Within the Groove. And then at the 10 o'clock hour, it's the guys, Dre Day, Sean Don, Tyler B, the Kickback. That's going to be kicking off at 10 o'clock tonight, so you don't want to miss that conversation. It was a real funny last week. I enjoyed listening to them. They were really, really funny. Great show there. Kickback. Also, tomorrow, make sure you check in with my man, Larry Lancaster, DJ Mike Nice, and the team for Throwback Saturday. And then on Sunday, make sure you do your part to tune in to Mama Ernestine and the whole family of Gospel Grace. Listen to all of that great and inspiring and uplifting gospel music, taking it all the way, then kicking off with my man David Brown, the Final Call radio show, and so much more. So we got a whole weekend of just fantastic programming you don't want to miss. Next week, folks, it's going to be a great week. We're going to be checking in with Commissioner Michael Harrison from the Baltimore City Police Department. He's going to check in with us next week on Tuesday to give us insight about what's going on with public safety in Baltimore. And again, on Thursday, February 25th, we will have our Reopening Schools Town Hall featuring the CEO of schools, Dr. Sonia Santalisa. That's at 5 p.m. on Thursday, February the 25th, from 5 to 7. It's going to be an opportunity for your children to check in and ask questions from the CEO and to get some questions answered and for you to raise your concerns about reopening schools in the midst of COVID-19. So we're going to have this very, very special broadcast next Thursday, February the 25th at 5 o'clock for our Reopening Schools Town Hall. You'll certainly hear much more about it. All right. That will do it for me. As always, never be afraid to challenge what's wrong. Stand for what's right while being yourself in the process. I look forward to talking to you, God willing, on Monday for another exciting edition of For the Culture right here on WEAA 88.9 FM and WEAA.org. And remember, Baltimore, do more, but be exceptionally good for the culture. Please be safe this weekend. God willing, we'll be checking back in with each other on Monday. Peace.